This was a day that, it wasn't a day that just happened. Man had no say in this. Man had no control over this. The Holy Spirit did not come because of something man did, because they were in the upper room praying for this to happen. This was ordained by God, and it had been ordained by God since the beginning of time. And it reminds me of a couple other verses I wanted to show to you here. In John chapter 7, verse 30, talking about Jesus, as Jesus was being seized, and the people wanted to seize him. People wanted to kill him. But in John 7, verse 30, it says, "But no one did because his time had not yet come." There was some heavenly timeline that was controlling the events that were happening down here on earth. It reminds me of another verse in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. "When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman born under law." So this heavenly timeline, that's when Jesus came. And according to the heavenly timeline, Jesus died on Nisan 14th. Which really impressive stuff here. And on this heavenly timeline, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was scheduled to come. And it's also the third thing I would show you here. It's a day of first fruits. I told you in Numbers chapter 28, it was called the day of first fruits. This was when the beginning of the harvest, the beginning of the wheat harvest. And they would celebrate, what does it say here, Numbers 28, verse 26, "On the day of first fruits, when you present to the Lord an offering of new grain during the Feast of Weeks." See, what this was, is 7 weeks and a day, is what it says in the Old Testament, Leviticus. 7 weeks and a day, which makes how many days? 50 days. See how that works? 7 weeks and a day. That is a day they are to assemble and do no regular work, and bring a wave offering before God. And for them, what did they bring before God? They brought before God wheat. Like, look at the wheat, God. We're blessed. Thank you, God. That's what it was. This is what they celebrated, that God was the God of the harvest. God was providing for them. So here we are in the New Testament on Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, what are they celebrating? What's the harvest? Remember that? In Acts chapter 2, as you go on, 3,000 people were saved that day. They were celebrating wheat. We celebrate souls coming to Jesus Christ, putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And let me make this point too. If you go back to the Old Testament, the giving of the law, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and what did he find? He found everybody dancing around, celebrating around an idol that Aaron had made, this golden calf. And as a result, 3,000 people died that day because of their rebellion, because of their wickedness. 3,000 people died that day, Pentecost in the Old Testament. Here, Pentecost in the New Testament, 3,000 people are saved. Isn't that cool? I think it's so cool. Another thing I want you to see here before we go on, that this is the day the church was unleashed. Acts chapter 1, going back to Acts chapter 1, verse 4, "On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but you wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, immersed in the Holy Spirit, anointed with the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus began his ministry back in Luke chapter 3, Jesus was baptized, and the voice came from heaven, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the dove descended from heaven. The dove representing the Holy Spirit at Jesus' baptism. Well, now the church is being baptized. This is the baptism of the church. When the church begins, as Jesus began his earthly ministry after his baptism, now the church begins their earthly ministry after their baptism in the Holy Spirit. It goes on, the text goes on, verse 2, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." So let's break this down. What's going on here? What happened? It says here, a sound like violent wind. It wasn't violent wind, but it sounded like violent wind. It says here, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. Once again, it was like tongues of fire. Luke is so desperately trying to search for words to explain this, what the supernatural occurrence, what's going on here. And I'm thinking about, what does a tongue of fire look like? Have you ever thought about that? I don't know what that looks like. So anyway, I Googled it. Got one picture here. I don't know if this would help. Yeah, that's kind of scary, isn't it? I don't want that, you know? That just looks painful. I got a tie here, tobacco sauce. That looks like somebody just had too much tobacco sauce right there. And I got another picture, which I thought was a little bit more reverent here, a little bit more. You think it would be anything like that? That just little flames of fire setting on people's heads. I don't know what this is. And Luke doesn't know how to describe it to us. He just says what seemed to be like tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. Another thing that I see here, all of them, there would be 120 of them in the upper room. They were filled with the Spirit. Now, this is something new. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would come on somebody or maybe come on a few people, but here is the first instance, new Spirit, the Holy Spirit is coming upon all of them. Everybody. The Holy Spirit is coming upon all of them. And another thing I see here, and they began to speak in tongues. And this is where my sermon gets really scary. Okay, what do you do with that? That's just weird stuff. Okay, what do you do with that? See, I grew up in a church. We didn't talk about this stuff. And I think that this is a subject that can be very uncomfortable for a lot of people. This whole thing about speaking in tongues, because a lot of people don't speak in tongues. A lot of people don't understand this. A lot of people have never been taught anything about speaking in tongues. And because a lot of people have abused this issue, and it's become something very divisive. And I don't know if I'm hoping, I prayed about this, Lord, help me here. And to tell you from the pulpit, I don't speak in tongues, never have. What confuses me is that I've got wonderful friends who do. Wonderful, godly people who I go to, who I look up to, and they do speak in tongues. So what do? I don't speak in tongues, they do speak in tongues. And I've preached on this before. The Bible commands us not to forbid the speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But the Bible also tells us that it's not the most important gift. Seek the gifts that will build up the body of Christ. And Paul specifically mentions the gift of prophecy. Seek the gift of prophecy. But we live in a world that some people exalt this issue like this is the most important thing. If you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Have you heard that before? I have been told that. I've been told I don't have the Holy Spirit because I don't speak in tongues. Careful. Okay, hold on. Seatbelts, everybody. Okay. And I would tell you that what I see going on here, I feel like the devil, and this is what the devil does. He takes something beautiful and he corrupts it and he makes it divisive. So a point before we go forward here. What happened here in Acts chapter 2, it happened suddenly. And it was spectacular, and it was supernatural, and it was sensational, and it was a unique one-time event. And it was very purposeful. And if you miss the purpose, then you miss the forest for the trees. We fixate on the trees, and we lose the big picture of what God is doing. And so I'm going to mention, you know, tongues is a problem here. Tongues is a divisive issue. Acts chapter 2 is not about speaking in tongues. It's not what it's about. So we'll go on here and see what we can see here. In verse 5, Acts chapter 2, verse 5, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. First thing I see, God-fearing, I think I put men. I don't know why I put men. Got men and women, God-fearing Jews. And something that I saw here, that you have God-fearing Jews. And this is the first people that the Holy Spirit came to. The thing I saw here, good people need Jesus too, okay? If you think you're basically a good person, well, you need the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Being good is not good enough. You need something else, all right? It's God's will for you to walk with God, and it's God's will for you to be empowered by the Spirit of God. So we need to be seeking the Holy Spirit. So these God-fearing Jews, the men and women, they needed Jesus too. And the second thing I want you to notice here is that they were from every nation. From every nation. So I got to try to read this now. This goes on verse 9. These are the nations they were from. The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt. I can say that one. And parts of Libya and Cyrene and visitors from Rome. I can say that one too. both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs. I mean, they're from everywhere. That's what it says, from every nation under heaven. And basically what you have here, you have the whole Mediterranean world was present on this day. They're present on this day in Jerusalem because this is the day of Pentecost. This is the day they've been commanded to worship on this day. So if you're a God-fearing Jew, I mean, where else would you want to be? You want to be in Jerusalem. This is where everybody, this is where the party's happening. So because they waited, this was ordained by God that if you wait for the Spirit, and as you wait for the Spirit, God is going to ordain, because your commission is to go to all the earth. And God says, but I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to bring the earth to you. So how cool is that? He brings everybody there from every nation. And what next? And they heard them. What did they hear? They heard them speaking in tongues. They heard them speaking in their own language. Look at verse 6, Acts 2, verse 6. Each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. An earthly language. An understandable, logical, purposeful language. See, here's a problem I think I have. I think most of your English translations of the Bible, it gets to this here, it goes back to verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues. In Greek, it's very clear in Greek, and I'm not good at Greek, I say this a lot, I'm not good at this, but I can do this one, okay? And the word tongues in Greek is dialect. Now, what does that mean? Language. So all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. So I think your English translations do you a big disservice if you have the word tongue there instead of language. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other languages. Speaking in tongues does not have to be something mystical or something strange. Yes, supernatural, but not mystical. It was very purposeful. What was happening here in Acts chapter 2 was very purposeful. Speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2 is about these uneducated Galileans. People, they've never been to school. They can barely speak their language. Like I barely speak English, you know. But they were being empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak the gospel to foreigners in their own language. It'd be like me being supernaturally gifted to speak Spanish to a Mexican so I could tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ because I can't speak Spanish. And if that were to happen, that would really be cool. And that would not be of me. I know that would be a God thing. Notice it's not about speaking in tongues. Look at verse 11. They heard them speaking in their own language. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, in our own languages. It's about the wonders of God. The reason the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in these languages is so they could communicate the wonders of God. Because what is their calling? What is their commission? They are to be God's witnesses. Well, how do you be a witness of God if you can't communicate? So the Holy Spirit took care of that and gave them the ability to speak in a foreign language so that they could communicate the wonders of God. That's the forest. If you're just thinking about tongues, that's the trees. The forest, the tongues were given by the Holy Spirit to declare the praises of God, the wonders of God, the fact that God came down to earth in the form of a baby, Jesus, and that Jesus grew up, and Jesus he died on a cross to remove our guilt, and he rose from the dead, and he's with us now through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit enabled them to speak in tongues, in other languages, in foreign languages, so that they could declare the wonders of God. That's everything in a nutshell right there. The Spirit enabled them to speak in tongues so that they could declare the wonders of God. Why? So what? Who cares in this room? So what? What does this have to do with me? Well, maybe, perhaps, possibly, the Holy Spirit has gifted you to speak in a foreign language, Spanish or German or Russian or Jamaican or something, so that you can declare the wonders of God. I don't have that gift. We went to Uganda a few years ago, and Uganda, this was really weird. I'm thinking this is like how the Mediterranean world was. All these different nations, and they all speak foreign languages. Well, when I went to Uganda, every 5 miles, you're in a different village, and every village had their own language. I found that to be very frustrating. Because, you know, as soon as I learned how to say thank you or please in one village, when I go to another village, I have to learn it all again. And I couldn't do it. I was just lousy. The Holy Spirit did not give me the gift of foreign languages. I'm thinking the Holy Spirit was laughing at me the whole time. So this is that world, and I don't have this gift. Maybe you do. And the reason you have that gift is so you can declare the praises of God. You can declare the wonders of God. Maybe that's not your gift. Maybe your gift is writing. Maybe the Holy Spirit gave you the ability to write. Maybe you can write a novel, or maybe you can write poetry or something, so that you can express the wonders of God. Or maybe he gave you the gift, the ability of singing, so that you can express the wonders of God. Or maybe he gave you the gift of teaching so that you can teach the wonders of God. Or to build so that you can build something for the glory of God. It's all about God. So that we can be his witnesses, so we can tell the world how great, how awesome God is. And this is why the Holy Spirit has gifted you the way the Holy Spirit has gifted you. And I'm looking in a room here of all these different people here, all of us gifted differently, so we can all use those gifts to tell the world how great our God is. And isn't that a beautiful thing? Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing if we would use these gifts as the Holy Spirit's gift? Don't be thinking that what you have is from you, like you had something to do with it. You are wired special by God so that you can be his witness, so that you can declare his glory in your own unique way. And if you've not figured that out yet, how to do that, I beg you to go home and figure this out. How can you use your gifts for his glory? And I can't wait to see it. I think that's what makes everything special. When I see something, I got to tell you, Paul's over there. We got Paul Barr. Sorry, I'm picking on you. We baptized Paul Barr last week. You know, Paul Barr sends me a text every morning just declaring the glory of God, the wonders of God. Not through tongues, but through a cell phone. Okay, that's how he does it. That's how he does it. And a cell phone is kind of a miracle, you know? That's a weird thing. And so he's figured out how to use a cell phone for the glory of God. It can be that simple. But this is our purpose. Go on here. In Acts chapter 2, verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, what does this mean? What does this mean? When all these people from all around the Mediterranean world, they were all hearing the gospel in their own language. What does this mean? What is it? Which is a great question. And we're going to come to this question next week, by the way. Peter's going to address this. The first Holy Spirit-filled preacher. And so we're going to look at what he says next week. But for right now, this is what I want to say. For right now, the church has been commissioned by Jesus Christ. You will be my witnesses. You exist to declare the wonders of God. Any way the Holy Spirit enables you to do it. Second thing I want you to see, the church has been baptized with the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus did not begin his earthly ministry until he was baptized, the church was to wait until they were filled with the Holy Spirit before they went out and they testified. But let's observe in this text, there are a few barriers to our ability to be his witnesses. The first barrier that we saw in the text is geographical. We're supposed to go to all the earth. And that's difficult, isn't it? You got to get a passport, you need money, and all the problems that come. Billy Graham pulled it off. It's amazing what Billy Graham was able to do. And if he could do it, it can be done, right? It can be done. And we are commissioned to go to all the earth. Maybe I cannot go to all the earth myself, but maybe I can go to one part, you can go to another part, somebody else can go to another part. With 2 billion Christians living on this earth, you would think we could cover it, right? But in this case, what I see as a barrier, I see the Holy Spirit says, that's not a barrier for me. I can take care of that. Let me bring them to you. So now that we're staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, the Holy Spirit brought them to the church. In a similar way, you can think of a college campus, U of L. possibly IUS. I don't know what the status is there. But where for students from all over the world go to U of L to learn engineering or whatever they're going to learn. What an opportunity we have as a church to make a connection there and bring the gospel to them so that when they leave and they go back to their home country, wherever it is, they can take the gospel with them. See how God is taking care of everything? All it takes is people who are willing to be used by God to do his work. That's all it takes. Unfortunately, that is a problem. But I'm not coming to that one yet. The second barrier I see is the language barrier. Oh. When we think, God, I can't do it. I can't speak their language. Same thing Moses said. I can't go. I can't speak so good. To which I always like to use myself as a you know, the poster child of somebody who can't speak so good, and yet God is using me, right? So if God can use me, God can use you. All of them began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. So the world would hear, so the world would believe, so the world would declare the wonders of God. So what we see as a barrier, the Holy Spirit says, I got it. I can take care of this. All you got to do is trust me. All you got to do is allow me to work through you. I got this covered. So what's an obstacle to us? Not an obstacle to God. So if we go with God, he can take care of these obstacles. I have written down here, I'm hoping this will be beneficial. Where did all these different languages come from? You remember that? It's in the Bible. Everybody speaking all these different languages? Tower of Babel, right? Tower of Babel. Before the flood, there was the Garden of Eden, and everything was beautiful, everything was perfect, until man messed up. And sin entered this paradise. And sin didn't just enter, it got magnified and multiplied and spread like a cancer. And as you read the next couple of chapters, you just see the wickedness of man growing and growing and growing until God just had to give up and say, that's it, I'm done with you guys. And he destroyed the earth with this flood. Now, he saved a remnant. He saved Noah and his family. And when they got off the boat, when they got off the ark, he commanded them, now go and fill the earth. Let's try this again. Let's try this again. All right, let's see if we can get this right this time. And then what happens? You get into Genesis 11. And what do you find them doing? They're not filling the earth. No, they're building a city for themselves to make a name for themselves. There's the problem right there. They were trying to make a name for themselves. They were building a one-world order without God, which would just further this cancerous wickedness, rebellion, this oppression. As mankind did what was right in their own eyes. I mean, where does that go? Where does that lead us? Every time, it just leads us to more misery, more ruin. So God, in an act of love, confused their languages to force them to do his will, to go out and scatter and fill the earth. What was driving the whole issue of the Tower of Babel, there was a human spirit driving what was going on there, not the Holy Spirit. So God confused their languages. In Acts chapter 2, what you see going on here, God uses multiple languages to bring unity, to bring all people to the foot of the cross so that they would live for the glory of God. This is our purpose as a church, not to make a name for ourselves, as they did in the Tower of Babel, but to bring glory to God's name. This is why we have been given this precious gift, the Holy Spirit, so that we could exalt God's name, so we could tell the world the wonders of God, how great our God is. One more barrier I want to point out here. There's the people barrier. It says here in verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some people were amazed. Some people were just, this is awesome. This is 3,000 people were saved that day. But the next verse, though, verse 13, some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine, which is really not logical, because drinking a lot of wine, I don't see how that could make you be able to speak all these foreign languages. Maybe there's something to that. I don't know. But, yeah, so here are the people being very illogical here. And what I see here, some people will always, when you declare the praises of God, some people some people are going to be amazed. Some people are going to start asking you questions. And some people are going to want to know more about this Jesus Christ that you've given your life to. They're going to want to make Jesus Christ their Lord and their Savior. But some people will mock you. And some people will resist you. And they will accuse you of being drunk or being a hypocrite or being judgmental or whatever they're going to accuse you of today. They're going to accuse you of something because they don't want it. They don't want it. Because some people will always be about the business of building their kingdom. Some people will always be about the business of trying to make a name for themselves and not God. Which brings me to a very simple question right now. Is that you? Are you living for the glory of God? Are you living for the glory of yourself? Are you living to make His name great or your name great?
Lead me to